mobile low-bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your mobile device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek-io for more information.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Because nothing but I Fight Dragons can really appreciate the epicness of what is coming. Welcome to the Small Screen Spoiler Show, episode number one, recorded. This is the 27th of January, 2015. I am CJ. You're new to espionage, aren't you? Boat. And he's Jared. You weren't being careful as a veto.
You've been being careful?
Yeah,
is that
one.
What you're trying to do?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was a last-minute addition. Leave me alone.
That's it. We'll do it live.
Yeah, exactly. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm feeling fine. It's Tuesday night, and we're going to spoil the crap out of some shows, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Absolutely. Just as a reminder, like Jazz said, we're going to spoil shows listed, and anything prior to it is free game as well. So, if you haven't watched episode 12 of season 2 of Sleepy Hollow, season 1 episode 1 or episode 2 of Agent Carter, or season 1 episode 11 or 12 of Gotham, come back later.
Don't come back at all if you haven't watched any of those, or if you don't care about spoilers, then stick around.
Exactly. If you don't care about spoilers and just kind of want to know what's going on with the shows and want to hear some interesting conversation about them, then feel free to stick around. But, again, anything prior to those is completely fair game as well. If you listen to the Geek.io show, this is not new to you.
Nope. But we're going to spoil you because we love you and we want to give you more than you deserve.
Absolutely. And you deserve to be spoiled. So
you deserve to be spoiled.
Just as a heads up, this is episode 1, so it's going to be a little bit weird. We're going to get a little bit of get everything kind of feeled down here. First part of the show, we're going to discuss the episodes that we're talking about. Second half of the show, going forward, will be our spoiler challenge shows for each other. And we'll get more to that later. So, let's go ahead and start with the first episode aired that we're talking about here. Sleepy Hollow, Season 2, Episode 12, Paradise Lost.
That's right. Episode 12. We're spoiling it, just in case we didn't warn you enough.
Yes, there will be spoilers. There
We're
will be many.
Spoil this.
Yes, you deserve to be spoiled because you are more handsome than Ichabod Crane.
That is not possible. I would not think that is physically possible for anyone ever.
Our listeners are more handsome than Ichabod Crane.
No.
Sorry, listeners.
I can't get behind that. I'm sorry. I don't agree.
All right, at least hotter than what's her face?
What's her face?
Yeah, his wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay. So our listeners are hotter than what's her face that kind of looks like Amy Adams.
Katrina Crane.
There we go.
Played by Katia Winter.
Yeah.
Or Winter, if you want to. I assume since her first name is Katia, that her last name is pronounced with a V instead of a W.
Probably. That's probably a fair assumption.
Katia Winter.
All right. So this is the first. All this is new, either new series or right after the mid-season break. Now that apparently we're doing A and B seasons. So this is season 2B of Sleepy Hollow's premiere, where we have a new bad guy. Potentially big bad guy. Potentially mid bad guy.
Some kind of bad guy.
Definitely a bad guy. And he's an angel.
With wings and everything.
Yeah.
And a, oh boy, work phone is going off. I hope it's nothing important.
It's like, geez, we just started. You don't need to cricket me yet. Holy crap.
It's the least offensive thing that go off in the 2 in the morning.
This is true.
It's the least offensive choice. Yeah. We got the angel complete with the Xena weapon that he can throw around. I guess it's also maybe supposed to resemble a halo.
I guess.
And, yeah. I mean,
I thought it looked more like a
It's a chakra.
Kind of had those points on it that kind of made it look like a like an omega symbol. So that's kind of foreshadowing ish.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. There's something about Sleepy Hollow, for those who don't really pay attention to it, there's a lot of symbolism in it, and some of it pays off, some of it doesn't, so...
I probably should go check that work thing, so stall for me for about 30 seconds.
Okay, no problem. So yeah, we have a new bad guy, he's an angel, because, well, the demon, well, Malek is quote-unquote dead. And his power is basically to kill demons, but he has these awesome black wings. Angels aren't supposed to have black wings, you say, because Sleepy Hollow follows more Christo-Judeo beliefs on things. So you'd expect the angel to be pretty and have white wings. Well, the angel is very pretty. He is very pretty.
He is pretty, but his wings are not white.
No. They're very, very black. So I take it nothing important?
Oh, well, somebody can't connect to something, so just carry on. I'm sending a message out to the network admin. And
did you try turning it off and on again?
See, now you've watched the IT Crowd and you can say that and get the full appreciation of it.
Pretty much the original main bad that they tried setting us up with was the Horseman of Death again, Abraham. Because, you know, Headless Horseman, Ichabod Crane. We had to go back to season one somehow. So he's got that kind of going on here. I'll actually post a link in our internal chat and the show notes so you can see the weird omega chakram that Angel Faces
wear. Oh,
we have
pictures?
Yeah.
Pictures of the omega chakram? Omega chakram.
Omega chakram. That's an awesome weapon, now that I think about it.
It's a shame that they destroyed it instantaneously.
Yeah, right?
Well, that was short-lived.
That will probably be back. Or at least a weapon of that caliber.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm trying to get this guy's name. It's been forever since I watched this. I watched it on the day that it came out. So I'm kind of like...
I watched it a week later. But I got notes. Though none of them are about that dude's name. So I'm sorry.
Angel of
like
Death.
Like his character or his actor name.
Yes.
Fine. Orion. Played
Orion.
By Max Brown.
There we go.
There you go. See, I already had the IMD ready to go. I'm thinking ahead on these things.
Fair enough. At least one of us is. So, yeah, you got him going on. He's Mr. Demon Killer and wants to kill the Horseman of Death and can actually hurt him with his fancy pants holy weapon, which is never explained, but I'm sure it will be.
Oh, it'll be explained.
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind, I actually have not watched any more of the season yet because I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying not to spoil myself on our spoiler show, so
you can watch it after we do this show.
Yeah,
then you
actually,
can spoil it yourself.
Exactly. I'm probably going to be watching it tomorrow night. Rachel's kind of upset with me because we haven't watched it yet.
Sorry, Rachel. Don't hate me forever.
Oh, that trip to New York really threw me off. So it was kind of.
Oh yeah, that kind of threw a wrench in everything.
Yeah, right. This was supposed to be last week.
All right. Well, my first two notes here that I have is, first one is creepy farm is creepy.
Yes.
So I guess that was just the creepy farm. So nothing really interesting there. The second one was, when did Sleepy Hollow get all Buffy and Angel feeling? Like, they walked into that barn and the demons turned around. I was like, those are Buffy demons.
Yeah, right? They did look a lot like Buffy demons. You're not wrong.
Buffy demons. I just kept, and then an angel jumps in. I'm like, whoa, okay. We're being egregious here.
You know, I'm okay with it though. We need a Buffy and Angel on right now, and considering last season felt very Abrams pretty much the entire season up until the end, then the mid-season finale was all sorts of Angel and Buffy up in that piece.
yeah, but the demons on Sleepy Hollow have always been more creepy and freaky and
well, these were minor.
What's his name? Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah,
del Toro. Whatever. His kind of style of demons, like the really creepy, freaky looking ones.
Yeah, but these were sub demons. So these were a servant of a servant. So
these are sub demons. Okay,
exactly. These are the ones that are like by the gates, just kind of going around. In fact, I'm pretty sure they were just goths, not really demons. They were just goths.
So that's why they looked goofy. They just had really thick makeup on. They weren't actually demons.
Exactly. Yeah, it did. You're not wrong. This entire episode felt very, very Angel Buffy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we killed the main bad guy, so now what do we do? I don't know. Let's do some Whedon stuff. Let's have fun with it.
And this did feel like they were having a lot more fun with the entire episode. Like, you got through this very, very, very deep, dark Malik and Avatar of Death and War plot. It felt a lot more light, and I kind of liked it.
A lot more light.
Oh yeah. Both literally and figuratively, there was more color in this episode than I think the entire series so far.
It was a very colorful one, which is, again, I come to the Buffy and Angel-style demons, because they were blue rather than gray and white and black and different shades of black and different shades of gray.
Yeah, it's now that you're saying it, it really does just feel very, very Buffy. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I actually like that.
I'm cool with it. It was just an interesting shift. I was like, what? Wait a minute. This just happened all of a sudden.
It was very abrupt from what we had dealt with the entire other time. So, yeah, it was kind of unannounced, and but not unwelcome. So, where's my notes? There's my notes. You got odd couples going on here, man. You got some weird...
Which ones?
Well, between the weird, horrible, not cool sexual tension between Katrina and Abraham, it just was not okay. It was not cool. And then the definite weirdness between Jenny and potential bad guy.
You still think he's a potential bad guy?
I still think he's a bad guy.
You're just holding on to that, huh?
I really am. I mean, he's holding all of the freaking coins that make you evil. Like, he has all of them. Nick, by the way. Jenny and Nick. That's definitely an odd couple if I've ever seen one. Like, Nick seems kind of like a weird outdoorsy kind of like crocodile hunter kind of thing. And
he's like an evil version of Nicolas Cage from National Treasure.
That's fair.
Pseudo evil.
Yeah, probably evil.
he steals things not to put them in a museum, but to sell them for money.
Yeah, kind of throws back to the line from Guardians of the Galaxy. We should just give it to a guy who's not so bad who will still pay us.
Maybe. Well, I don't know about that.
But it's... I still stand by the fact that he's going to be evil. He's going to be evil. Guaranteed.
No doubt. No, I don't know. I won't bet against you.
Though, I did make a note that I might be wrong about him, considering he did kind of save the day in this episode.
Yes.
Well, at least stalled before Orion got there, and then called Orion out for his crap.
Why are you such a dick? You're an angel.
I might be wrong with him, but it's still just something in my... Probably because I'm so Whedoned right now, I'm really thinking he's too good to be true.
That's true. Plus, last season we had, Henry, who turned out to be evil. Who turned out to be maybe not evil. I don't know.
That was just still gone. Up in the air. Yeah,
where'd he go? I don't know.
He saved the day, and then poof!
All I saw was he stabbed evil demon man, and then that was it. Where'd he go? Right. I don't know. When I woke up, he was gone. Okay. Alrighty then. All right. And they saved the horseman. What a twist!
Yeah, right? They saved the bad guy!
Save the horseman, save the world.
Yeah, they're trying to separate him from the Avatar, but I'm like, I don't know if that's such a good idea, considering the Avatar is literally the only reason why he's alive.
Well, let's go ahead and get into it. Life and death is kind of in this show.
Yeah, it is very flexible, but that was kind of established early, considering they could walk in and out of purgatory.
Yeah, they can walk in and out of purgatory, and then the whole what's it with the thing and the
mirrors and whatnot. And okay, so we should just go ahead and do it. Orlando's back. Orlando Jones is back.
Yeah, we got the tag at the end of Orlando breaking into a convenience store and drinking all their milk.
Hey, man, you gonna pay for that? Is this heaven or hell? neither. This is Sleepy Hollow. And that kind of look on his face, like, oh, shit. Like, he can't tell if he's happy or sad to be back in, back to life. Very, very confusing.
I don't know. He probably still doesn't have a soul, so he may not be happy to be alive.
Yeah.
Maybe he is happy. I don't know.
Well, if Henry's dead, does he get his soul back? If Henry's dead.
Henry's not dead.
No, I know, but if Henry's dead, and also since he did technically disappear because he used the soul blade thingy, does that instantly make his like contract null and void?
That
might have been the reason why he appeared back. He used
the, Didn't read the fine print.
Yeah, right. The soul blade asterisk.
Where hence one uses the soul blade, all above becomes null and void.
Yeah, right. Well, it's all lawyer talk. He's a lawyer, so you know it's all that.
Right on. So witnesses represent.
Yep. Oh yeah. I love them be finally doing the whole buddy cop thing. I'm like, yes, this is what I wanted. Just a few episodes of them being goofy, like.
And the cranes need some counseling, and
yeah.
Orlando is back.
Yeah,
he's gone for one episode. He was gone for about one whole episode before he came back.
Well, yeah, between half of the first episode and 75% of, or 90% of the second episode, yeah, he was gone for about a total of an episode.
Not one whole episode he was out, but he's back. Don't worry, everybody.
Yeah, right, which I suppose is a better track record than Henry has so far.
Yeah, and then...
But he's still in the opening credits, so he's not.
He's not dead. The opening credits kind of spoiled that. So.
Yeah, right. Spoiler alert:
John Noble, Noble's name was in the opening credits. So
yeah, that just kind of there you go.
Oh, okay, we're good. There he is. There's Henry. And just so everyone knows, until this question is answered, I'm going to ask it every single episode of Sleepy Hollow. Whatever happened to that golem thing they made, or whatever it was called.
Right?
The weird soldier freak monster thing.
The Avatar of War. That was the Avatar of War. Because Henry, I guess, was the full aspect of it, much akin to how Abraham is the aspect of death, and the Headless Horseman is the actual Avatar.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing here?
Yeah, the weird golem thing that... Oh, no, the friendly golem thing. I'm thinking the golem thing
that Henry...
Yeah, the little
soldier man that they made.
Yeah. Didn't they mention it, though?
The kindred.
Yeah, didn't they mention it? I'm pretty sure they mentioned it.
I don't remember them mentioning it, because I ask this every episode. Whatever happened to the thing? They, like, make this freaky monster thing. It jumps out and, like, scares off the headless horseman and then runs away. And they're like, well, I'm sure that won't come back to bite us. So I'm not letting it go, man. I'm not letting it go.
And of course, my the cranisms, him basically getting a boner over motorcycles was awesome.
I know, I've got to start making a note of the cranisms.
Yeah, there was a lot of them in this episode, though, because he's not focused on a bad guy.
Yeah, clearly played with it a little more.
And don't get me wrong, I have a feeling that this would get old pretty quickly, but I'm glad to have it for a couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah, we need a little... Just a lighthearted, we like these people, and
exactly.
Maybe life isn't so terrible all the time.
I would be okay with them doing a little bit more, maybe season 6/7 Buffy, where it's still serious, but occasionally has that a couple of episodes where, you just have that character building.
Perhaps. Yeah, just have a little fun.
Yeah.
Building up the characters, fleshing out, building relationships, and... reminding us why we like these people, not just putting them through constant torment.
Horrible, horrible torment. Poor Orlando Jones. All right, any other notes on Paradise Lost?
I'm done. I'm good.
All right.
Let's talk about the pretty lady in the red hat.
Yes, indeed. So, moving on. Agent Carter, season 1, episode 1 and 2, because they were aired back-to-back, and I watched 3, never realizing it, so I might say things from 3, and I apologize.
Crap, I haven't watched that yet.
I just got
Katie watching this one with me, because, girl power, and she's I'll watch it. She seems to like it, too, so.
There's lots of girl power,
I have one note from her.
They did very well on not like overdoing like super feminism in this, but made it feminist enough to actually just realize that she's a badass. You do not mess around with Peggy Carter.
She's very capable of taking care of herself.
Now, bear in mind, I am a person who watched the first Captain America once and didn't like it, and never went back and rewatched it.
Oh my goodness!
I'm not a Captain America fan.
Didn't like a Marvel movie.
I have never been a Captain America fan. So this came out, and I watched it for completionist's sake, but I didn't like hardly any of it at all. It had some good parts, like the flashback where he crashed into the where he was doing the whole dance thing. I'm like, all right, cool. And I liked Agent Smith as the Red Skull, and that was pretty much it.
Red Skull.
So I just spoiler alert, I'm not a fan of it, and so the nuances may escape me on some of these things.
Oh, okay. So I can't ask you like if you caught like any weird things that were there just for the comic book geeks, because you're not a Cap fan.
Nope. I'm reading the current Captain America because it's not Steve Rogers. It's actually spoiler alert, it's the Falcon is Captain America right now. So
we're not spoiling comics here, CJ.
No, it's all over everywhere. Like, you can't go to Marvel's site without seeing
that. And I don't read any comics, so.
So, and I'm reading that current run because I'm just like shows. I like giving everything a chance, and I'm actually enjoying the current run of it because it got way dark, and I'm not just talking about the protagonist. But I'm bumps. All right.
Hey.
All right, so go ahead and start us out with your notes for Peggy Carter.
So I really dig the look and feel of this show. Like, they really kind of like they jump into that 40s 50s era stuff and just run with it, and it just looks really, really good.
Oh yeah.
And it feels really, really good. Like, they capture it spot on. And this was episode 2, which I guess we're just kind of jumbling them together.
Yeah,
so
these two, since they were aired together, we're just going to go ahead and just mash both of them together.
But the Captain America radio show?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's just like this weird meta thing within a thing that's like a perversion of a thing that's not a thing. And, oh, man, it's fantastic. I love
it. Really
it.
Is.
That is so brilliant.
You haven't watched Dollhouse yet, have you?
Not yet.
Damn it, I'm going to have to change my freaking challenge show for you. Because you don't appreciate the fact that Daniel is November, and he's Victor in Dollhouse. And I saw him like, holy crap, it's Victor.
Who is this?
Daniel, the tall, handsome guy who's actually nice to Peggy.
Okay, so the guy who was injured in the war or whatever.
Yeah, the guy with the one leg. Yeah.
Peg Leg.
Yep, Peg Leg McGee. He's But then again, this is a spinoff of a Whedon joint, so it really doesn't surprise me that they have Whedon in there.
I mean, you have Whedon people all up in S.H.I.E.L.D., and you're going to have Whedon people up in here, so.
Yep. Oh, this was directed by freaking Louis D'Esposito? Holy cow.
What?
Yeah.
What do I know him for?
He's done all of the things. Like, he's executive producer on everything Marvel. He actually did the Item 47 short. I'm looking at that, I'm like, why do I really know that name? But yeah, he's directing this, which is fantastic. He also did Basic Instinct, and hi, Rachel. Okay. So yeah, they did nail the feel of this without kind of battering it over the head with slowness like Mad Men does.
Yeah, they got a nice pace in here. Like, it's just boom, boom, boom. You know, story, 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 action, 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 story, action, story, action, story, action. It flows really well. Like, I was never bored. Usually the end of the show would come like, oh, it's already over. Okay. Well, then I guess we'll see next time.
Yeah, it really kept, like, little, like, witty quip, action, 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 talk, action, witty quip. Especially
I'm sad because Captain America's dead.
Well, yeah, she didn't really dwell on that too much. Like, she was like,
It was there enough, just to remind you who she is, I guess, and tie it in for the people who don't remember.
Yeah.
Captain America's girlfriend, she was the old lady in the other movie.
Yeah, right.
She's not older than this one because she still thinks he's dead, and it's like a year after. So
yeah, actually, I think it's like
you're up to snuff. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, right. I loved one of my favorite parts of Cap 1 was Howard Stark being in there, and I'm so glad they got same actor in every.
Got it right here, Papa Stark.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see him back.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper, like all up in that piece. I'm like, oh yeah, man, freaking own it, dude.
I think he could be overused, but they didn't. Like, he was in there, and he just came in, did his thing, and it felt good, and then he left.
Yeah,
and it was great.
He stayed around just long enough to kind of do the entire point, introduced Jarvis, and just like...
Oh. Jarvis is a man? Jarvis is a dude? A real dude?
A real dude.
I thought he was an acronym.
He is in the Avengers. You're obviously being sarcastic, but for those who didn't know, yes, Tony made that Jarvis after the real Jarvis, so...
I didn't know this. Did you know this?
I did indeed. But then again, I'm a comic reader. James D'Arcy, he's fantastic as Jarvis, man.
He's almost my favorite thing about the show.
Yeah. If Haley Atwell wasn't so pretty and awesome and pretty and kick-ass.
So awesome. I mean, if Jarvis looked that good in a dress, then maybe he'd be my favorite. So.
Yeah, right? Oh, here's a little weirdness. I just clicked on her, and not only is she Cinderella's birth mother in the upcoming Cinderella, she's playing Peggy Carter in both Avengers Age of Ultron and Ant-Man. So, wow. Hmm. There's something for you.
Hey, it's okay. That's fine. That's fine. You can get that Peggy Carter paycheck.
Yeah, right? So it'll be, I can kind of guarantee where Ant-Man is going to come into play with it. If she's not doing some kind of weird time warp thing, which she probably will, let's face it. Because there has to be some weird reason why Black Widow is giving goo-goo eyes to the Hulk in the Avengers Age of Ultron trailer.
Who knows?
Ah, crap. Who Peggy's knows? Back. I have no chance at Cap. Let's go hit on Banner. But Oh, go ahead. Your turn.
Okay. I mean, she does wear blonde well, I will say.
Yes.
I mean, she wears brunette great, but she wears blonde well, too. Like, she's undercover, kicking butt, and yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. Katie made the point that she's like, you know what I like about this? I mean, look at her. See, this is a 1950s thing. She's not super skinny and weird supermodel looking. She's like a... She's a built woman.
Yeah, she is.
Based on, like, beauty standards of that time. So it's like another layer of thing that where they capture that, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Nice to see.
So we have our MacGuffin, which you can guarantee is not going to be the real plot of this entire little miniseries. And that being said, keep in mind, folks, this is only 8 episodes long. This is a mid-season filler to bridge the gap and to probably tie into Age of Ultron.
Probably.
Most likely. there's a fair chance, I'm going to say a nice 90% chance, that the ending of this series is going to draw right into season 2B of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is going to pull directly into Age of Ultron.
And Ant-Man. I'm sure it's going to work in there somewhere, too.
Oh, yeah. Just keep that in mind. That being said, we were introduced to our MacGuffin. Papa Stark's like, hey, people are stealing my shit and selling it, and that's bad. You should stop them. And
everyone thinks I'm a terrorist / traitor, so you fix that.
Yeah, you do that, and I'm going to go...
You go save the world. I'm going to go hide.
I'm going to go do some hookers and blow on my private island. I'll be back.
That too.
Here's Jarvis. He'll take care of you.
Jarvis.
So you had some interesting characters that, as far as I know, completely, like, that's one thing I love about this. Every bad guy and everything like that is really tied into that universe only. Like, these don't exist in the comics.
I don't remember any creepy guys with no voice boxes.
Yeah.
Talking about Leviathan and
Leviathan is a thing. Up. Leviathan is a Hydra thing, but yeah, you have like Spider Raymond, who is the MacGuffin of the MacGuffin. At first I looked at that guy, I go, is that the dude from Breaking Bad? And I'm like, nope, no, it's not.
No.
It should have been. Get Luis Desposito in there. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
or whatever his name is. But
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah. Get him all up in there. But yeah, so you had that, and it's like, oh no, this is a bomb, but you can defuse it by using these things that just happen to be in every single bathroom ever in the 1940s.
Yeah, they're right here. Using a bomb in the bathroom while your roommate sleeps.
And then dies.
I'll just be in here. Hope I don't blow up the entire city block, then. You just rest.
Yeah, right. Sleep
poor
now, sweet
roommate.
Princess.
Poor roommate.
Poor hot, hot roommate.
Crying shame.
Yeah. She's right, though. Like, she made a comment of in the second episode of, the people she gets close to don't tend to survive very long. So, yeah, there's that. Yeah, it's like, boyfriend just died, and died. In her head, he died. And so, yeah, now my other roommate died, and so, yeah, I shouldn't probably be with anybody else right now. Actor lady's like, no.
Maybe, I don't know. So Peggy Carter, she works smarter, not harder.
Yeah, right. It's hard to say how much I actually enjoyed this series so far in the two or three episodes I've watched. Wait, I think I just spoiled some of the first episode. Shit!
I didn't pick up on any of it, so I don't think you did.
I'm trying not to. I really am. I just read a synopsis of episode 3. I'm like, oh, I watched that.
Whoops. Oh, well. Anyway.
All right, more notes.
I have two more notes. First one is Leland. There's Leland Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Get behind the desk.
Ray Wise all up in that piece, man.
Doing his thing. I was like, what's Leland doing? And then his little, I don't know if his bodyguard or whatever you call that, butler, kind of standing to the back, kind of look like Hawk from Twin Peaks. I don't know. Just gave me a little Twin Peaks jolt there. I don't think it was Hawk, but it just kind of looked like it.
No.
I just kept waiting for him to say something deep and spiritual or whatever with the land and impose some wisdom and then walk out, drop the mic and walk out.
Yeah, right. It was nice seeing him there, and I'm like, I could deal with him being a kind of regular, just kind of put in randomly just for that pop because it's Ray Wise.
And then the final two things, or the final note, is the humor they kind of just ease in there. Like when she straps the dude to the chair and then he runs away with the chair still in
charge. Yes.
And they pick him up on the side of the road.
Yeah, right.
What you doing? And then they're interrogating that other dude, and there's a carrot there. Why is that carrot there?
Did you want, was one of the things in these episodes the factory by any chance?
Where the factory explodes, or...
Yes, okay.
That was the first episode.
Okay. All running together in my head.
The factory exploded. It was owned by Leland Palmer, so I went to talk to him.
Yeah. It was great. Mm-hmm. Jarvis, bring the car around. Exactly when, Miss Kava? About 30
just
seconds.
Driving.
Just keep driving! But I should... No, just keep driving! And the look of sadness on his face when the car kind of got melted in the thing. Just the look on his face was just like pure, like, aww. You just kicked his puppy, man. Don't kick Jarvis's puppy. Oh, brilliant. I don't really have any other notes other than I really like this.
I'm a big fan. I'm excited to watch more if I can find time where Katie will actually sit down and watch it with me, because she may get mad if I watch it without her now.
Well, you have approximately 1 week.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. She's got 1 week. We'll get it.
Or two, and watch Galavant, and we'll talk about this.
She watched the pilot of that with me, too. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when you're done with it.
Okay.
All right, moving on to Gotham. Season 1, Episode 11, Rogue's Gallery, and 12, What the Little Bird Told Him. Well, why are we talking about these two episodes? Because basically they're a two-parter, so we're just kind of talking about them together.
So at the mid-season break, Gordon gets, you know, demoted and put to Arkham, and then in one episode they resolve it and then put him back.
he got out of detective approximately as long as Orlando Jones stayed dead.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was fun. They, like, had a little, oh, we're going to have a mystery inside of Arkham thing. And
then all hell broke loose.
And everything got crazy.
by not the Dollmaker.
Apparently, no, no. The Electrocutioner, which is a terrible name. But
it really is.
Well.
But again, like... Okay,
that was the point.
I kind of enjoy, like, after seeing that entire thing through, it kind of goes back to the Balloon Man for me. Like, this guy had 1 point and failed spectacularly at it.
He has super electrical stuff, and he was defeated by a cup of water.
I love that, man. Because
well,
I
didn't plan that out very well.
You can't defuse people. You can't defuse people like the Penguin and the Joker and the Riddler and them. You can't defuse them like that because of their ties into the Batman universe. These unique characters, though, built for the series, you can do whatever the hell you want to with them.
Yep, I'm the Electrocutioner. I walk around with a Ghostbusters backpack and electrocute things.
Because I have one sole purpose in life. I must
but you
kill
can
Marconi.
Defeat him with a cup of water and rubber shoes.
Yes.
I don't even need Batman for that one.
No. It kind of brings me to the point of where he shot the taser at the gun and it did nothing and Gordon just kind of looks at it. I'm like, that would still hurt. That gun's still metal. He's not wearing...
Is it a taser or a magnet?
It looked like a taser. Like, it sure as hell shot out electricity like a taser. the main thing you kind of got going for this one, either he's the big bad or, again, he's the MacGuffin, is the Penguin Rising.
Okay. Now, I wrote this note on both things. Like, what are they doing with the Penguin? It's like they don't know. How can he be, like, this evil, brilliant, manipulative dude in one episode, and then the next episode he's a bumbling idiot who, like, almost screws everything up? Like he has to be one or the other, right? He can't be both.
Well,
is this bumbling an act too?
I think it's I think his bumbling is an act. Aside from the fact that he got like electroshock therapied in the second episode, that completely legitimate.
Fair enough. Still,
but I think like in general, I think he's pretending, or it's just the fact that he has like a really great criminal mind and just doesn't know how to harness it yet. I just don't think... I mean, I think he might be just an idiot savant at this point and just kind of lucked into his... Well, hell, he lucked into the casino, the Iceberg Casino. Well, eventual Iceberg Casino. So I think he just might be, like, House, but for organized crime, and just kind of lucks his way into it.
Maybe. We'll remain to be seen. I still feel like they don't know what they're doing with Penguin, or they can't decide what they want to do with Penguin.
Though, I mean, there's a lot of internet rumors going around that he might be the Joker. And I saw that, like, in the second episode, he's wearing a lot of purple and green, man. Like, he has a lot of purple and green on in a second episode.
That would be an interesting twist. Turn around.
I read that theory and I'm like, okay, I'd like to see it because it would be interesting how they're going to explain how the penguin happens. But like the whole thing of like the Joker keeps getting brought up, and I'm like, why does it need to be a thing with no Batman? Like
thing with no Batman.
The Joker's nothing without Batman. That's the entire point. Oh, thank God, no Bruce Wayne. That kid is horrible.
Though I did kind of miss Alfred.
Yeah, Alfred's amazing. That kid is horrible.
But I'm willing to sacrifice Alfred if I don't have to see Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, right. A little bit of Ivy popping back in the first episode, showing that little girl can actually act.
Yeah, she's interesting.
I enjoy her. Though
and they kept calling that one inmate that I think got, well, he was the first one to get brain messed up, Frogman.
Yeah, no,
is that a reference to anything?
No. I think it might be like a Silver Age villain that was in one episode of Batman, but I...
I don't know. They just kept saying it. It's like, is this a thing? Is this something they're dropping? And then they died or whatever.
Not as far as I know, but I would be fair to assume that it might be a Silver Age villain. Because that happened
here,
a lot.
I got this thing called the internet.
Yeah, right? A frogman is someone who dives, comedic superhero. I got nothing from Batman for frogman.
Frogman versus Batman.
Riddler's frogman. Frogman versus Batman. Oh, it might be a thing then. Sure. I don't know. But again, like I said, there was a villain called Crazy Quilt, and his power was the quilt. So, you know, there was that.
Yeah, yeah. And he was crazy.
Yeah, he was indeed crazy. There's a guy named Calendar Man, and all of his like murders were made on like certain dates. Like his power was the calendar. So having a frog man whose power was slurred speech wouldn't surprise me at all.
His power slurred speech.
Though it was kind of interesting that they called the first episode Rogues Gallery, and they put a focus on a lot of Batman's rogues. You put a focus on Catwoman, Ivy, Penguin, Falcone, Marconi. You put this interesting focus on all of these characters while simultaneously creating new ones that, you know, that are worthless on a wet day. Or, best case scenario, completely detrimental to their entire team on a wet day. Ah, shit! Ah! Pop-up rain shower! Everybody get away from the electrocutioner!
Aw, poor electrocutioner.
Oh, man.
Did I see Biz Markie in that in Arkham somewhere? I swear, I saw him for a second.
I was kind of looking around for people that shared names or anything like that with Batman villains or anything like that, and nothing came to my mind while they were going through them, so...
And then I have this note, but I watched this probably 2 weeks ago, so I don't know what I was talking about, but I wrote down Old JD. And I think it was that one of the Arkham inmates looked like an old JD. But I don't remember why.
Yeah. Oh, but that was good. That was good.
Listen to How It Stacks, people.
Yeah, right.
On the Geek.io network.
Geektheshow.net/How It Stacks.
But I really want to know why I wrote that down. It always makes me want to go back and watch the episode just so I can figure out why I wrote that down.
Yeah, right. I do love, like, I still love and hate Fish's character, but the preview at the end of the episode kind of makes me think that, like, I looked at it and she has this horrible grin on her, like, horrible, horrible grin on her face. So I'm thinking, female Joker?
That'd be weird.
I'd be down with it,
I don't know.
Though.
My theory is she won't survive the season. I don't know if there's any merit to that. But...
Yeah, I mean, you do have, like, and I thought about it while, you know, I've only been watching this series now for 12 episodes, and it just now caught to my head that penguins eat fish. Like, it just clicked in my head while I was watching it before the show. Like,
oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, see, that supports my theory.
I'd like to see, like, because I love Jada Pinkett Smith, but I can guarantee she costs a lot of money, so it would not surprise me if she does not survive, but I'd like her to.
And it's been interesting in the last couple of episodes watching Bullock become the hero.
Yeah.
And not just a schlub, dirty cop.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it was like, it just finally clicked in his head when Gordon got taken away from him that, hey, you know, this may not be such a bad thing, being a good guy. And the captain actually came through too, man. So we now officially have 3 non-assholes on the Gotham City Police Department. Yay!
Give him time, give him time.
Yeah, right? All in all, like, I actually enjoyed these episodes. It's still something about this series, though, that's just like, man, they gotta pick something up. Like, it has to pick up somewhere, because it's starting to still feel like kind of a job. Don't get me wrong, these 2 episodes actually worked really well to me, but it still felt just like I'm watching this.
Yeah, this is one of those shows that I'm enjoying it, but it's not one that I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Where I'm like foaming at the mouth for the next episode to come out.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like watch it as soon as it's available. You know, I'm just like, oh yeah, Gotham. It's like, oh, I'll watch something else first.
Yeah, this is
like
this
the last
is not
thing on my list.
Yeah, right. This is no Arrow or Flash or Once Upon a Time for me. Like, this is far down on my list of shows that, like, I'm super excited about. And I'm not even, like I said, I'm not even super excited about it. And to be honest, it, like, if it doesn't keep up, like, or pick up really hardcore in the second half of the season, I don't think I'm going to care enough to go to season 2.
Ooh, it's been laid down, Gotham. You best deliver.
I don't hate the show, but it just, this is a peak time for shows, and it's hard to invest time in something that I'm not 100% into.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. So, Inara?
Hmm?
Inara.
Inara.
Hot Dr. Inara.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap, that is her! Holy shit!
Yeah. I kept looking at her, too. I was like, man, she looks familiar.
Yeah,
and like pulled up IMDb, and I was like, oh, that's Morena Baccarin.
Like, okay, she's making out with Gordon. I'm like, man, she looks really familiar. Why does this woman look familiar?
Thank you. I'm so glad it wasn't just me. Clearly she's doing something different with her hair or something that I didn't recognize.
It's the short hair and the fact that she's pale and not well tanned in this series because, you know, there's no sunlight ever in Gotham.
No.
Ever.
It's always dark. It's always raining. It's overcast every day. This is Gotham.
Yeah, exactly. You just... I would move out of that town even before then. Like, if I were born there, like, it just feels like they're trying to lampoon Chicago and Seattle, like, together. And just weird.
Chicago and Seattle. Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. Mash them together and you got Gotham.
You have the worst city in recorded history.
The city where they have cell phones, but the police station still uses an overhead projector.
Yeah, they do. Like, that's one thing I can give this show. They have this weird flux in time that I'm actually enjoying.
Yeah, it's like driving older cars, but they have cell phones.
Like, relatively recent cell phones, like last generation flip phones. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, they're flip phones. They're not smartphones, but they are cell phones.
But it's like my mother-in-law just bought a flip phone, and it looks like those. Like, it looks like ones you can go out and buy right now.
Sure. It's not like they're going to make their props or something.
Well, but the thing is, and I can give them that, they did a really great job on, like, doing that, kind of capturing that almost Batman the Animated Series vibe.
Yeah.
I want to see a Zeppelin, I'm not going to lie, and I don't want to just be with Balloon Man reinventing himself. I'm now Zeppelin Man! I can kill six people!
I want Zeppelin Man.
I kind of want Zeppelin Man, but let him not be Balloon Man. Copycat villain, one upping the other guy. Balloon Man failed, but where he failed, I will succeed! I am Zeppelin Man!
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, all right. Man. So next week, I think we're still down to talk, you know, Sleepy Hollow and Agent Carter and Gotham again next week, unless you finish Gallivant between now and then, because I really want to talk Gallivant.
I'd love to talk Gallivant. I'll see if I can
I want to make it a one-in-one-out kind of thing. Like, I don't want to put one, the series is over, and two, it's such a short thing that you'd easily combine into just one lump and run with it.
But I do still have three notes left.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Quick.
Number one, Zaz is so crazy.
I love Zaz. Love Zaz. He's one of my favorite villains in the comic series. Rachel's like, who is that guy? I'm like, that's Victor Zaz. He's one of those badass villains in Gotham. She goes, then why have I never seen him? I go, pretty much because he's a comic guy, because it's hard to pull off his level of maniacal in movies and shows. Because he's a straight up butcher, and at this point, 15 years before he becomes that Victor Zaz, it's okay to have him just be a weird, creepy, bald guy who uses guns, because the real Victor Zaz doesn't use guns.
This is, you know, he's working up to the true Victor Zaz.
Exactly.
And what are they doing with Barbara?
I don't know.
It's like every episode she has just one weird scene where she's doing drugs or going back to her parents' house and looking sad. Why are you even still in this show? I'm not sure what they're doing with you.
Well, there has to be a payoff, because in the book, Gordon's daughter is named Barbara.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So either...
Is she going to become the next villain of the next season, maybe?
Possibly?
No.
I mean, see, she ties so easily into... The way they have her lined up is she ties very easily into... Renee Montoya, who is the Question in the comic books. She's a superhero. She's called the Question. And also...
Yeah, she's real close to her.
Well, yeah, real close. One would say that their plot lines are intertwined, if you know what I mean. YouTube viewers just got a little bit more than they were waiting for. I feel kind of bad about that. Sorry, guys. There's lines that I kind of wish I would just take back, and that's definitely one of them.
No, I was fine with it.
Yeah, and oh, we forgot to. Yeah, go ahead. Last note.
The mobsters are so much more interesting than everything else going on in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I could watch just Falcone do his thing because he's so freaking awesome.
Yeah,
like, that actor just comes in and he chews it up, and he's just like, you don't realize how bad the other actors on that show is until he walks into a scene.
Yeah,
like yeah, see, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but, you're right, though.
Like,
that
your stuff is brutal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the end of the 11th episode, you got whatever the chubby gangster's name is going with his childhood
friend.
Lead
henchman guy.
Yeah, and then shooting his childhood friend in the head.
Like, yeah, point blank.
Okay.
Dump.
Like, wow, okay. That was
no
very
silencer or anything, man. Just right into the car. Boom!
And then at the end of this episode, you got Falcone choking a bitch.
Woo! That, now I have that clip to play forever.
You're welcome.
They are ruthless, and like they showed
with his bare hands.
Yeah,
bare hands.
Yeah, no instruments, no nothing, just straight up gun. And I thought he was just gonna shoot her. I'm like, no, oh no, oh wow.
Like, no, shooting's too good. I have to do this the right way and remember who I am.
Yeah,
I am the evil.
Yeah, I'm glad that they kind of went that way, because like Falcone, like even in the like anybody who's even watched like the Dark Knight Rises and stuff like that knows Falcone's a bad dude.
Oh yeah,
and like,
he's not a nice gangster.
No, he may be honorable, but he still owns everybody. So like you have that, and you have that villain already established in cinematic media, not just comic books. So it's hard to see like that guy who was just kind of like, oh, you know, we let things be without actually having any kind of like having his henchmen do all the bad things. I like to see him actually be like, all right, yeah, that's right, I am the Don. You do not take from me.
Yes. So there, that story is much more interesting than anything else going on to me.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially the damn person.
And I know Penguin's intertwined with that, but that's fine. If they can figure out what to do with the Penguin and actually make him consistent, I think I could get behind his character, but right now he's just kind of annoying me.
Well, now that he has the casino, I'm sure like his character will actually be able to flesh out a little bit more. I mean, up until these couple of episodes, he was a tertiary character.
Yeah.
This is really going to allow him to actually become the character he's supposed to be. And they're kind of using him as the face of the show, which is weird. Like, all of the like promotional stuff that they do in between episodes doesn't have Ben McKenzie or, you know, Donna Loge in it. It has freaking Penguin. It has Corey Michael Smith, or not Corey Michael Smith. That's freaking Enigma. It has freaking Penguin in there, which is weird. Like, okay, apparently they're trying to have him be the dude.
He does look really... He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Looks like a Batman villain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I have high hopes for that. Because I actually like the actor, and I kind of like what they're doing with the Penguin. But just remember, this is not... I mean, they're allowed to do this whole, like, showing good and evil operating at the same time. Because this is not, you know, Gotham... This is not GCPD. This is not anything like that. It's just Gotham showing how that is evolving. And, I mean, if they get a better actor for Bruce Wayne, you know, I would not even mind too much, like, them doing a time jump and doing some Batman stuff later, like, later seasons, like season 3 or 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
get through two or three seasons of, you know, establishing this world that you want to create, then bring in the Batman.
The Batman.
All right, so that's going to close up that on the shows proper for our discussion points. Starting in episode 2, we'll kind of do a little bit of establishing on this, but starting in episode 2, we're going to really get into our challenge shows. Jared and I are going to challenge each other's shows to shows that are immediately available, typically streaming, to catch up, watch the entire thing, and we're going to do a spoiler discussion of the shows starting next week. We put a little bit more into this episode than I really thought we were going, so...
But spoiler alert, I'm watching Arrow.
Yeah, my challenge to Jazz was to watch Arrow, because I want him to watch Flash with me, because I want that to be a thing next season.
So I gotta catch up. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
The first two seasons are on Netflix. First one, the one's currently going. By the time you're done with the first two seasons, You'll be able to catch either them on Netflix or they'll be up on CWTV.com for free.
Yeah, and I will say this. I watched, I think, last week someday. I don't remember. I watched the pilot again. I had seen it before, but I watched it again just to refresh myself
on
what all happened there, because it's been like a year and or two. And then the next night, I watched three episodes at once. So I guess I like it.
See, season one is one of those seasons that I could see is going to be a lot better binging than watching week to week. Watching week to week, you got to soak in all of the weird CW-ness of it. So you had that was a little much to sink in, and almost lost me. And then stuff happened that we'll discuss by the time you get done with season one.
And it doesn't feel too egregious with CW-ness.
It gets pretty bad mid-season. Mid-season? Yeah.
Okay. All right. But, what are you gonna challenge CJ?
What?
Are you truly choosing Psych as your challenge show, or do I get to?
Dude, it's up to you. Like, I'm just watching Psych because you're like talking about the Dual Spires episode, and I watched that, and like I sat and watched seven episodes since then.
That's because Psych is awesome.
Just a fair warning, though, I'm not going back to season one with it. I just started with season five because I watched season one through three when it was on USA, and I'm not going to go back and watch season four, so I'm just kind of going from five on.
Okay. I mean, there's some stuff that happened in season four. I'd at least go back and maybe watch the Yin Yang Killer episodes.
I already watched like the third part of that one, so they went through and gave the last time on Psych kind of thing, which to me, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with, here's what you missed. That works for me. I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. So you're actually probably working your way past me right now. So I think I'm in season six, but I don't remember where.
Yeah, I'm on season six as well.
It's just one of those shows that I kind of like. If I don't know what to watch, I just turn it on, and it's like good, yummy cake.
It is.
It's not candy. It's just cake. It's nothing too heavy, nothing too filling. Just nice, light, fun. Make me laugh a few times and have a good time.
I mean, if you want my the show that I'm actually vested in and kind of watching on my own time is Lost Girl. But I mean, this is the entire point of this is you to challenge me to something like that. I'm really trying not to drop an F-bomb on this show, like Twin Peaks. And no, I will not watch Firewalk with Me because I won the bet.
No, I wouldn't have made you do that.
So, I mean, it's really up to you, like what you want me to watch, and I'll watch it.
All right.
So if you want me to stay on Psych/Lost Girl, I'll stay on Psych/Lost Girl. And, if not, put something in the notes, and I'll make a note of it next week when we do a recording.
All right. Let's do it. Let's wrap this puppy up.
There we go. Absolutely. This has been episode one of Small Screen Spoiler Show. If you want to hear more shows on the network, head over to geek-io.net. The email for the show is geekioshow@gmail.com because I don't want a 15th email coming into my system.
That's fair. Perfectly fair.
So everything is going to remain the stuff for the main show of Geek.io Show. So you have Geek.io Show, Twitter, Facebook, facebook.com/Geek.io Show, twitter.com/Geek.io Show, Geek.io Show@gmail.com. If you want to contact me directly, I am at... Oh, there you go. All right. What's my challenge for next week?
True Detective.
There we go.
That'd be season one.
There's only two.
It doesn't exist yet.
That's one of those shows like I've not really I've wanted to watch, just haven't really gotten around to it. But I'll definitely watch it. I'm done with that. There's that. So if you want to get a hold of me directly, I'm Dragos Kai on Twitter, JazzTech, JazTech, up on the Twitter for Jazz. If you want to help support
Jazz with
the show,
one Z.
There you go. If you want to help out the show and all the stuff on the network, this show was created because I asked for one email about the stuff, and I got one email, and that's great, and all that's good. That was not from Jazz, even though he's like, well, I'm going to do it regardless without you. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm in. But we actually got our email, like, the last week that we were doing it. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do this then.
It's on.
So patreon.com/geekio is how you're going to help out the network. It's probably going to be the only thing we're talking about on this. We're not going to probably sling some sponsors unless we get a TV-specific one. Like, if Hulu gives us free Hulu Plus accounts, I guess we'll pimp that out. But until then, Hulu's a horrible experience.
CJ laid it down.
Yeah, shots fired. I don't like Hulu. unless they want to give me Hulu Plus, then I love Hulu. Yay. Not much I won't do for money, folks.
Yeah. CJ is cheap.
Yeah, I'm not...
With a few measly dollars.
I'm not hard to please. I mean, if you want to send me $300 headphones, I'll take them. But, you know, I'm easy with five, you know? I'm easy with $5. All right. So I want to thank iFight Dragons for letting me use any of their music that I wanted to for our intro. They have a new album out. The Near Future is out now. You can go ahead and head over to ifightdragons.com to pick that up. It's on Amazon and all that good stuff. You can get it in CD, pure digital, or vinyl. I want to thank them for letting us using their music for the show. On that note, while I'm pulling up the outro, anything else before we leave?
Nothing for me, sir. I have some show title candidates, but I don't know if you want to say those live. Discuss after. What's the format of this?
Yeah, right? We'll discuss them after.
All right.
All right, folks. On that note, we will see you next week, Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, here on geek.io.net/live and on Alpha Geek Radio. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek and Geek out.